Time now on the Bonusa pregame show to visit with Brent Bolte, head coach of the Beavers. Congratulations on the win.
Thank you.
How impressive is three picks in a game by both Gunner and EJ now?
You know, we were talking about that. I mean, it has to be one of the super infrequent that that's happened, not just at BSU, but all across the country. I mean, that's very rare that, number one, a person gets three and then brothers get it. And so I should send NLI down to his brother down in Texas right now to see if he'll commit and come up and try to be the third. But a pretty special deal. Just amazing and quite a day for those two. They're having a lot of fun with it.
How'd the game plan change once you got to the field and saw how long the grass was and how much the wind was blowing?
The wind blowing was the biggest one. You know, they were smart. They deferred the opening kickoff, which we were going to do, and I almost kicked. I've never done that in my coaching career. I've never been an advocate of it, but looked pretty grim. You know, we kicked off and got the block in the back. We were backed up at the 6-yard line, and the offense had a great opening drive, went down and scored. But yeah, we were pretty nervous about it. We played a little bit closer to the vest in the first quarter, and then, you know, I don't know, we ended up scoring 27 in the second. So it worked out, getting good field position right away at the start of the second, and we were able to get out in front right away in the second quarter.
If you had a ballpark, how many decisions did you make based strictly on into the wind or out of the wind?
Well, we talked about it a lot because we were talking about punting a lot during the course of the game and kickoffs. But we didn't have a ton of kickoffs and or punts into the wind, to be honest with you. We utilized the clock to make them do it a couple times out right before half. So Ike had an opportunity to kick the field goal right before halftime. So we certainly seemed like we talked about it the entire day, but not a lot of the decisions actually had to be made at crunch time. It just didn't seem like it worked out that way.
More with Coach Bolte when we return the Bonusa Pregame Show on the Beaver Radio Network. Welcome back to the Bonusa Pregame Show on the Beaver Radio Network, part two with head coach Brent Bolte. It's going to sound like a very crazy question for a college coach, but in this era of player safety, in a game like last week, is running time ever a possibility?
I doubt it. You know, I don't think they'll do it, but certainly I'm sure a lot of coaches would like that or talk about increasing the amount of kids that you can take on a road game, which would have been the case. You know, we have eligible, you know, 70-ish guys that would be eligible to play, excluding the freshmen that we're trying to redshirt. And I'd have loved to have been able to bring those guys over to have a playing experience. I mean, they would have played basically the whole second half. So it, you know, for us, it just got to be the point where how can we get out of here without getting guys banged up? And trust me, that thought crossed my mind a couple times.
Is the 55-man travel limit an NCAA limit or an NSIC limit?
I believe it's NCAA for Division II, I believe. But that's what we've always dealt with since I've been here. So we travel a few more guys. You can only dress 55. So that's how it works.
Is there a way to increase that limit without killing everybody's budget?
You know, that's why they probably keep it that way. But you're talking an additional cost, maybe of a few $100 by adding, even if you took an extra 5 to 7 guys, you know, a couple hotel rooms and a few meals. So I don't think it would break the budget. And if you talk about player safety wise, which that's really what it comes down to, the repetitive hits where, you know, we only traveled 8 linemen, I believe, last weekend. Well, that means 2 of our starters are still going to be out there in the fourth quarter banging away. And we're fortunate to have a lot of defensive linemen, but our secondary is pretty thin. So you saw Gunnar Olszewski and EJ out there in the fourth quarter just because they were rotating to keep guys healthy or fresh. So it certainly would have been nice to have a few more guys along.
With the current number of plays in a game, practices have changed. You don't hit as much. Have you noticed fundamentals suffering because of it?
I think you look at it in a few ways that the tackling at the beginning of the year, I think, has been worse. Across the board, not necessarily just here, but you just have to do things differently where our practice tempo, you know, I think is higher and faster than what it's ever been in terms of getting plays in the amount of plays, but the physicality part, finishing a play where we might have done thud, where we're wrapped up, we just pin the hip and run through where we're not putting those guys in situations where they could get their, you know, concussion or hurt or whatever. It's almost like putting them in a bubble, it feels like. So we're very conscious of that and trying to prolong these kids' careers and not put them in harm's way.
How valuable is all that experience those guys did get, though, in the fourth quarter? I mean, is it like a whole nother spring practice session, getting that many reps in a game?
For us, the biggest one was, I think, it allowed us to evaluate some of our younger guys. It almost felt like just a true evaluation of, can these guys play college football or not? And we got some of those questions answered because like, let's say you're a sophomore and haven't been playing very much. Let's say you're stuck behind the all conference, like a Nico Daniello or one of those guys that's been playing forever. Yeah, those kids might run down on special teams, but we saw probably our twos and threes, like Jamie Moe and Logan Steening, were able to play extremely well in the defensive line, and they show flashes of it, you know, here and there, but they haven't been asked to do it long term. And they were, I mean, second series of the third quarter, those guys were out there banging away, and they both got their first college sacks and all that, which was cool. And they showed that, yeah, they're going to not just be serviceable. They'll be good, really good football players for us down the road.
How do you guys teach pick sixes and scoop and score fumble recoveries, and how you go from tackler to tacklee and blocker in short order?
Yeah, it's interesting because I don't know if we do a whole heck of a lot, to be honest with you. We talk about the fundamentals, like we get them during practice, about not blocking, not below the waist, all those basic things. We just run interference, and the ones this year have just been no-brainers. They caught them in stride and they've been gone. So we talk about just the basic things, and we do fumble recovery, interception drills. We do turnover circuits and things of that nature, but it's just being opportunistic because, I mean, like Cole Schmitz, we've had fumbles on the ground this year, but he had a cherry hop. He scooped it clean and he was in the end zone. And, you know, EJ's score was, you know, the kid was under pressure. He flung it up in the air, hit him in the chest and stride, and he walked in. So sometimes it's just being really fortunate. And like last weekend, you know, Vogler and Ames, Vogler tipped it. Ames got an interception. Those guys were wrong. They busted on the coverage. So sometimes just blind luck comes into play too. So, but five defensive touchdowns, I don't know if we've ever even had that in an entire year. It's been pretty amazing.
On to you, Mary. Triple option isn't run very often anymore. Heck, even at the high school level, they're going spread and let's go. Defensively, what's the biggest key?
Getting our guys to understand that it's going to be a nasty game. Number one, they're going to cut. It's, to me, you know, I played this in college. This is what we saw every day. So I have a little, I think it's pretty sexy. Schultz, I kind of like it. But for us is to understand how fast things happen. And it's such an assignment fundamental game where you have assignments, you got a dive player, you got a quarterback player, you got a pitch player, and how many different ways you can insert and change those guys' responsibilities. That's what it comes down to. And so I personally love this week. Rob's, you know, our defensive coordinator's like, oh, yeah, this. I'm like, hey, I got the game plan. Hey, if you want to give me the call sheet, I'll call the game this week too. I love going against triple option football because, again, I saw it all for 4 years banging my head against the fullback. So we'll be ready to go there. But that's the hardest part is, you know, playing in practicing against it because our guys don't know what they're, I mean, we're not going to get a good look. We don't have a triple option quarterback. But, and the other scary part is, you know, the play action, they lull you to sleep and then they hit one over the top. So they've had opportunities on filming. They have had guys wide open and either the quarterback got hit or if it was a step off, but they played a lot better last weekend. So we'll see how they, how our guys respond and get ready to go.
I realize, formations, you can call them whatever the heck you want. But is a typical 3-4 defense better against option or a 4-3?
My personal opinion is a 3-4. Wolf probably show every junk front in the world at them this weekend, and that's part of making their quarterbacks have harder read keys. So you'll probably see us line up from a 2-down look all the way to a 6-man box. I mean, anything in between is fair game. For me this week or with Rob too, it's just getting a bunch of different looks and attacking them in different ways. And it just goes back to, in my opinion, you can make the dive key and the read a lot harder in a 3-4 because you can, you know, slant, angle your outside backers and defensive ends. And in the second part, we're really gifted on our defensive line. So that makes life easier too. So, we got to see, we got a few guys banged up. We'll see who's available, but you might even see us in a true 5-down look with 5D linemen. We've done that in the past against River Falls way back in the day. And last year, even out there, we did that a little bit too. So, but they see so many different crazy looks on defense. I don't know how they prepare. You know, nobody else runs triple option. So it'd be interesting to see how they respond to what we do as well.
Best of luck.
Thank you.
Brent Bolte, head coach of the Beavers. Starting lineups next on the Beaver Radio Network.